mentioned Yanks and nukes. At least I think that was what she was saying, but she had a heavy accent. I didn't get all of the words. Seems the middle was wasted. Totally, just rubble. She said rats lived there, but I think she meant something more than rats. And she bitched about gangs of kids running around for the party and killing anyone they didn't like the look of. I kind of got the feeling that there's guards all around, the nearer you get to the middle. She used a phrase that means something like thick as blowflies on horseshit. Then I said that the villa I came from needed some good tools, and I asked where we should go.
And? Come on, Rick. She could rat on us to the next segment she sees. We gotta get moving away from here.
Sure. All right, hold your horses, Ryan. Just take it easy. She says there are places only a quarter a mile or so from here. As far as I could understand, she says there are places you can kind of hire tools, and one or two where you can buy them. But she said that the price was...
He stopped and rubbed his forehead.
She used some expression that meant, like the sun and the stars came cheaper than some of the prices they charge for these tools.
Gaia, we already had trouble once over being jack short. Looks like we need to get us some rubles.
It'll be difficult, lover. Way Rick tells it, we'll need some heavy jack. Have to thieve it. Too dangerous. Might as well steal the tools. Maybe less risk.
Still could use some cash to buy food and stuff.
Yeah, that makes sense. Find someone to roll for small change.
That's an expression I haven't heard in an age, Ryan. Small change, is that current Deathland slang?
No. I got it from an old song somebody in Warwag 1 used to sing. Sung about someone called Small Change getting himself rained on with his own .38. I always liked it. Remembered the words. Found out they meant a handful of lowjack.
Christy looked up and down the quiet side street.
Got a feeling, guys. Time to move on from here.
Christy's perceptions turned out to be spot on, for around the next corner they walked straight into a large sec patrol, stopping everyone who tried to pass. The woman with the baby carriage reported the three strangers as soon as she was able to find a public phone that hadn't malfunctioned. Fortunately for Ryan, Christy, and Rick, that took her nearly an hour. Then the baby was bawling so loudly that she had to stop and feed it before making the call to the headquarters of internal security. By the time the message had filtered on through the various levels of bureaucratic incompetence and reached Major Commissar Grigory Zemyanin on his crackling pocket radio, the three strangers were long gone, and it was near evening. Zemyanin wasn't pleased. Ryan and Christy played mute, shuffling their boots in the slush and mud, gazing vacantly around. Both had their trigger fingers locked in place on their blasters under their furs. Even without Rick's whispered worry translation, it was fairly obvious what was going on. There had been no warning, just a line of men in dark maroon uniforms, some with rifles slung over their shoulders, blocking off the street. For a razored microsecond, Ryan considered their chances of turning and making a break for it. His mind told him that he and Christy could almost certainly have made it, with the maze of derelict buildings and overgrown gardens. And in the same instant, he knew that it would mean abandoning Rick to a definite arrest.
If we have to chill them, then we take out as many as we can.
But he quickly saw why they'd been stopped, why everyone out walking that morning along that particular street was being stopped. The melting snow had flooded storm culverts, and a wide drainage ditch had overflowed, leaving a spreading pool of filthy, freezing water seeping over the road. With the exception of the very elderly or young children, everyone was directed to a flat-topped wag piled high with shovels, picks, and forks. Nobody tried to resist the armed militia. They simply took the tools that they were given and plodded into the water above the knees and shoveled the icy sludge from the ditch. The three friends joined them.
This is fucking crazy. This wasn't what I was supposed to do. Ending my days in a shit-filled river in Moscow? Listen, Ryan, I tell you, I can't do this. You and Christy just leave me. Go for it and have a dry martini in Harry's bar up on 4th Avenue.
Keep your mouth shut and stay on the far side of me. Go through the motions of digging and I'll try and cover for you. But don't try to talk, Rick.
Fortunately for all of them, the work took only a few minutes. A ragged cheer went up as a skinny young woman heaved out a length of wire netting, tangled with weeds and torn plastic. Immediately, there was a bubbling surge of water, and everyone scrambled hastily out of the ditch. Christy grabbed Rick's arm and hauled him with her, slipping in the stinking mud and nearly falling. Once the blockage was cleared, the water drained away quickly, seeping off the road. Everyone shuffled to the wag and returned their shovels. nodding solemnly to one another. The Sekhmen were smiling, one of them kissing the skinny woman on both cheeks and slapping her on the shoulders. A sour-faced young officer beckoned her over and counted out a number of silver and copper coins into her hand. The rest of the crowd looked enviously at her reward. She set off alone down a winding side street. Ryan beckoned to the other two.
There goes our Jack. Come on.
The Russian woman never knew what hit her. Christy walked quickly past, overtaking her, then turned suddenly with a bright and friendly smile. The girl returned her smile, head slightly to one side, as she waited to see what Christy wanted. Moving soft as a midnight shadow, Ryan glanced around once, making sure the road was deserted. He caught her as she dropped like a rock to the uneven sidewalk.
Oh, Jesus, Ryan, did you really have to...
Yes, friend. I did have to.
She'll be fine in a few minutes. Ache in the head and empty in the pockets. Better than being dead.
Rick didn't reply. He hobbled down the street, leaning on his bamboo cane, not looking back at the other two. Even if Rick Ginsburg didn't have a terminal disease, Ryan knew that he would never be able to last in the Deathlands. Perhaps fate was actually being merciful to him. Zemyanin returned to his office and worked late that afternoon. Reports of street muggings rarely came to his desk, since they were a matter for highway incidents. But an alert officer had seen Zemyanin's circulated memo and had phoned in the report.
How pleasant to again make your acquaintance.
He shook his head as he returned the English tongue for the benefit of the Russian gentleman abroad to his drawer. The assailants were a mean-looking man with only one eye, a tall, attractive woman with very red hair, and a shambling, crippled man wearing thick eyeglasses. They were the same people he was seeking. Now they were closer to the sensitive center of the ville. He called in Elise Andreevna and began to dictate a letter. Once he was finished, he sat back in his chair.
Read it back to me, Elise Andreevna, if you would.
Are you sure that you...
I am sure. I am also sure that it will be many long winter's days before you rise to clerk first class, Elise Andreevna, unless you learn quickly to do what you're told.
Seeing the way the girl's face dropped, sensing her disappointment, Zemyanin pasted on his best smile.
I am sorry, child. I had a brief falling out with my wife Anya. By the hammer and the anvil, she has a mouth sharper than the best polar bear trap. I should not take it out on you.
I only worried in case Comrade Marshal Sieraski reproved you for stepping beyond your commission. That was all.
Perhaps he will. Let us send this letter to him and find out, with copies to all members of the Internal Security Presidium.
Having noted your last communication, I respectfully point out to the Comrade Marshal that there have been new sightings of the three mysterious outlanders. Now there is definite crime proved, an assault on a decent and honest citizen of Romyenki, and theft. Who are they, Comrade Marshal? Why do they come here? Only one speaks our tongue, and that badly, and with an accent that nobody can place with any surety. I repeat my request for the condition to move from yellow to orange at once, and that condition red reserves be warned. He might agree, Comrade Major Commissar.
Add one more line, Elisa.